This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It's the Underpowered Hour. On this week's show, Land Rover gives us a glimpse of the Defender Octa. I write an article for Rover's magazine, and we do a cherry photo shoot with the Camel Trophy Discovery. And now, without further delay, here's the show. Welcome to the Underpowered Hour. I'm Steve Barris, mild-mannered television executive by day and Land Rover collector by night. You can find out more about our cars and what we're working on at thebarriscollection.com or follow us on Instagram at thebarriscollection. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Ike Goss.
Thank you to everyone joining us today. I'm the paper workshop manual to Steven's pirated PDF. I am the oil-soaked pages of podcasting, Ike Goss.
I own and operate Pangolin 4x4 in Springfield, Oregon, where we live and breathe Land Rovers. Check us out online on Facebook, Instagram, at Pangolin 4x4. Let's get started.
All right, Ike. Well, this week, important news. Maybe the most important new Defender news to come out of our friends at Land Rover in decades. The special vehicles Land Rover Defender is dead, but out of its ashes has risen the Defender Octa.
What? Which is, I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, it's a special MMA edition, a new Defender. It has those special gloves that it come, you know, that they all have, You put them on to drive it with and stuff. You know, many people enter the car, but only one leaves.
One of my favorite athletes is actually an MMA fighter. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. No, is that true? Who is that?
Yep, Charles Maness. Yeah, he's from Great Britain, I think. He fights there. You know, when you hear his fights being called, he's not very good. He always seems to lose, but very entertaining listening to his fights because the color commentary, it's great. It's just, Maness is getting pounded. It's true. That's actually true. Yeah. That's not a joke.
Yeah, that's true.
It may be a little bit of a joke, but it's true. It's true. He's a real person. Anyway, so we've got this new massive muscular racing Land Rover.
It is. It really is. It's the MMA fighter of Land Rovers. Now, apparently the Octa name actually comes from the octahedron finish pattern of diamonds. When a diamond is cut, it's cut into an octahedron pattern, which does sound pretty fucking Jerry McGovern, if I do say so myself. It is, it is a raw, uncut diamond of Defenders, and it has none other than the 626 horsepower, 4.4 liter twin turbo V8 mild hybrid engine, which they source from BMW. That's, of course, made famous by the newest Range Rover Sport. And so they're gonna.
What other four-wheel drives use a BMW engine besides BMW?
Oh, let me think. Vehicles. There's one other that is popular right now. It's right at the top of my list. I can't quite put it. It's Ineos in there somewhere. I just don't.
Do they make
chemicals?
Remember. Do they make
maybe
something
that's
else?
What it is. Chemicals? Yeah, I think it's something. They make something else, anyways. But the BMW crate engine, man, is very popular amongst things that pretend to be a Defender. They've got this BMW sourced crate engine, which again, lots and lots of companies are using that, not just Ineos. It seems to be like the go-to engine engine. That's what Morgan is using now. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, many companies now are using this BMW crate engine program. Now, it's not, of course, not just this one. They have about a dozen engines that are in their, you know, OEM program, their business-to-business program that you can buy. Scooter engines as well, actually. They've got like of their scooter engines that you could buy, which are kind
of
exciting.
Remember those BMW scooters that had a roof? Like back in the early 2000s?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And they had a seatbelt and a roof. Don't even remember what those are called. Those are amazing. I always just thought that like when you stopped, it would just roll over forwards.
Wheels. And then back onto its wheels. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Exactly. Those things are really interesting. Yeah.
And you didn't have to wear a helmet because of the roof and the seatbelt, which seems that seems like a bad idea to me. I feel like in a scooter crash, you don't want to be like tethered to the crashing scooter. You know,
you want to be thrown free.
Yeah, I don't think you want to be bound in there. I don't think that's a good idea, personally.
We don't see any more of them on the streets, so they're kind of confined to like design museums anymore, I think.
Exactly. Speaking of BMW scooters with a roof, there's an Isetta for sale across the street from the office that hasn't moved because he wants like $25,000 for it or something. It's quite expensive, but it's in good shape. That, of course, is, as you know, because you had one for a while, that's just a BMW scooter engine in a weird little three-wheel car.
Single cylinder. They made what they called the Isetta limo too. So is the one that you saw a limo?
It's just a standard.
It's got a door in the front and a door behind, or just one door?
Just the single door. Front entry. It's a little red and white one. It's really cool.
They've rebooted those. They're called a Microlino. Have you seen those? Yeah. They're made in Italy.
I haven't seen one in person. I've seen pictures of them. I've never seen one in person.
It's like a little electric guy, but it's basically an Isetta body with an electric motor. They're called Microlinos. Yesterday's April Fool's prank was that they said that they were going to go back to internal combustion engines. The comments was just like insane. It immediately devolved into the most personal insults like you can imagine.
Of course.
Anytime there's a discussion between like EV enthusiasts and car enthusiasts, there's always that segment that's like, you'll never take this internal combustion engine from me,
right?
You know,
there was some people saying there was some famous YouTuber that said Beofong radios were banned in the United States was his April Fool's joke, and people went crazy. They just went nuts. It was pretty funny as well.
April Fool's, you can't believe anything that's on the internet. It's a disaster. I feel like the next cataclysm that befalls the planet is going to start on April 1st. People are just going to log onto the internet.
April Fool's joke.
People are so gullible. Like they just log onto the internet and then they're like, what? And then they pull all their hair out and like go crazy and like take off all their clothes and go running through the streets, smashing stuff and setting things on fire. It's going to happen.
That's going to happen. Back to the Octa. So it uses not just the engine from the Range Rover Sport, but also the 6D air suspension from the Range Rover Sport. Not to be confused with the little D suspension from the Jimny conversion kit, but the 6D air suspension, which has the active shock absorbers as well as the air suspension and the active anti-sway bars.
It's like 3D plus 5G is 6D.
Two 3Ds on top of each other, actually. Yeah. It's a whole extra set of 3D.
It's a tesseract.
It's a tesseract. Yeah. If you're not careful, you end up in the metaverse if you look at it too long, I think, is what happens. So it's a lot of Ds on that.
It says kind of maximize wheel travel off-road.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, I guess so.
And articulation. So compared to the standard Defender, which has, between 0.5 and 3/4 of an inch in articulation, this one has, it doesn't say, but...
It doesn't say, no.
More.
No.
More.
But this one is able to control its sway bars, meaning that, like, the sway bars are, I don't know if they're disconnectable like they are in a Jeep, but it has active sway bars. So...
What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, on a Jeep, they can, like, actually disconnect their sway bars, right? They have, like, an electric disconnect.
That's not what this says.
So I don't know what this does. It says active. I don't know if it can do something like that. Yeah, it makes them less disconnectable.
As far as I know,
the wheels they tuck right up inside the body. They just get sucked up getting into a cold pool.
have you seen the boat car things?
Yeah.
Where the wheels retract?
Yeah, just retract right up into the body. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Jeep one. Oh, we should make one of those out of Land Rover. That's what they're going to do.
This has a creepy, creepy glowing red diamond things everywhere. So this little Okta symbol is essentially it's a little black diamond encircled by a red glowing sort of orb thing, which is pretty creepy. That's available all over the car. It also appears, now there's no actual close-up.
I can't let you do that, Steven.
Exactly. It's powered by the first AI developed by Jaguar Land Rover. It's Lucas AI.
Lucas AI.
It's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be great. And it appears to be, from the photos that we've seen, the first Defender to not have a Land Rover logo anywhere on it. So all of the places where there would normally be a Land Rover logo, there's instead one of these little Okta logos. So
that's like a seminal moment. Is that their new brand? It replaces what? Discovery, Freelander, Okta?
It's Okta.
Now, is Okta an acronym?
It literally is just short for octahedron or octagonal. Yeah, because
some of the news articles, it's spelled as an acronym with all capital letters, and then in others it's not. Do we know anything about that?
No, it really is. Apparently, it is just short for octahedron, as in the finishing pattern for diamonds, meant to be like super high scale and fancy.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'll just read from the article. It gets its name from the octahedron shape of a diamond, which in and of itself makes no sense, but I think I know what they mean, and will be adorned with many diamond-shaped graphics.
Yes.
Not octagonal graphics, but diamond-shaped graphics.
Diamond-shaped, yeah, right.
Including a gloss black diamond within a titanium disc on each signature graphic panel.
Can't go without that.
No. I think that's the feature that all Land Rover owners have been clamoring for right there.
More signature panel.
Yep. More signature panel. And also a gloss black diamond inside a titanium disc.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is the significance?
And that's normally, of course, where an oval would go. That normally there would be the Land Rover oval. A Land Rover oval on each side on the signature panel. Is normally where it'd go. So now the question is, we still haven't seen a close-up of the grill. So is there going to be an oval on the grill? That's the only place it could be now. So we'll see. Maybe this is
now,
the first one to
just,
have no
just one moment. Plug. I'm going to finish the explanation of the name. Mm-hmm. The press release says, what is the significance of the diamond references? Land Rover says that like a diamond, this new Defender will have diamond-like, tough, luxury credentials. What do you think that means?
I just don't know. I don't.
Tough luxury credentials. Huh.
Tough luxury credentials.
If there's anything that has a good reputation, it's diamonds, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, they're never like found in conflict areas or anything they're always sourced equitably, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think people figured out that diamonds are scams, right?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
Maybe not the best choice. I don't know. We'll see. But they can always fall back on the octagon diamond.
They should just fall back on MMA. I think it's a very popular sport.
MMA. Do we know what kind of tires or wheels or anything this thing
is? Yeah, this is still Goodyear all-terrain tires. They love those. They love those things. And it's, of course, the carbon fiber 2,900-inch wheels with like a millimeter of rubber around the outside of them. Essentially some Mr. Gasket around the outside of a carbon fiber wheel. So not a lot of off-road there. Actually, these do have significantly more tire on them.
They look like it.
All spy photos right now, so nobody really knows. But this is definitely more Defender-y than the Range Rover Sport is. This definitely has a higher profile tire than the Range Rover Sport. So I'm not sure how that will affect handling. But the 6D air suspension apparently lets it sit pretty flat in corners, which would be really cool. It is carbon fiber everywhere. The lettering on the hood is all carbon fiber. Carbon fiber, which looks pretty cool. It has a titanium quad tip exhaust, which is pretty neat.
So these exotic materials would you say they're throughout the car as structural and performance improving parts, or are they cosmetic details?
I would say they're diamond-like in their credentials. I would say that's the reason for having them there, is their diamond-like
tough luxury credentials.
Tough luxury. credentials. Yes. Just tough like
luxury diamonds. Credentials. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go. Who knows how much this thing is going to be, but when you think about the previous V8 90s and 110s, they were, you know, well over 100,000, and this will probably be well over that. So
it is more of everything.
It is more of everything. And the Range Rover Sport, that's its sort of contemporary, is about $170,000 in the United States right now. So I would expect this to be around that same price, if not a little bit more. So yeah, for those looking for, you know, the Vin Diesel of Defenders, this is it. You know, this is the one that you have been waiting for. It looks pretty cool.
Fastest Defender yet, it says.
For sure. That's
3.6 seconds, 0 to 60.
That's crazy. That seems dangerous. Seems dangerous. I don't know.
I don't think it's enough, honestly. There's got to be next year we're going to have a more ultimate edition, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's all they're doing now is editions.
Editions.
I like this, but I like that this edition has like new badging and everything. It's got like an evil persona. They're really leaning into like the bad guys drive black Defenders. Like,
it's true. Yeah. I feel like the last James Bond movie, all the bad guys drove Defenders. And
now they're like branding them like that. So good. They're just right from the factory.
So if you're a evil genius, or maybe you're just slow and little evil, you could you could get one of these.
Yeah, your terrorist organization, it's got the branding built right in now. It's sort of like, you know, Mercedes is making, you know, the Sprinter vans for you with the interior already built in for camping. This is sort of, JLR is now making you a Defender already built for evil. You know, it's got the branding and everything already on it. So
I drove by the Mercedes dealership here in town the other day. And they had a four-wheel drive Sprinter pickup with a utility body right on the lot.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It was cool. It was cool. I was like, I haven't seen a utility vehicle at a Mercedes dealership, you know, a real utility vehicle in a long time. That's super cool.
That is super cool. That's really neat. That's cool. It's neat that they're leaning into that stuff. Like, you know, it just goes to show you they're a humongous, giant luxury brand, but they still have a utility division that is thriving.
If only some other companies would figure that out. I don't really know. But it's impossible, I admit.
It is impossible. You can't. It can't be done.
Unless you do it. No. Unless you do it.
Speaking of fastest Defender ever, elderly man hit while getting the mail by a Land Rover. What a segue that is.
It's a sad story.
There's a lot of large SUVs. There's a big lobby in the United Kingdom right now to say, are cars too big and too powerful? Should there be some limits placed on them because of collisions with pedestrians? A lot of the reason that the hoods are rolled the way that they are now and all of the safety stuff is coming into cars is because of collisions with pedestrians. And, you know, everybody kind of thought that the introduction of the forward collision alerts and things would put some of this to an end, but I don't know what the statistics are, but it really doesn't seem like it's particularly curbed the pedestrian collision. I don't know. Maybe it has. I haven't really looked at the statistics.
England has always been at the forefront of vehicle safety. I think it was somewhere around 1900, they instituted a law that the speed limit in town was 3.5 miles per hour and that you had to have a flagger walking ahead of the vehicle.
With the two flags out, to make sure.
Yeah. I feel like this is just an extension of that. If you institute that, you won't have any.
You'll have zero traffic collisions. Yeah, that's right. It's a good point. It's a sad story, though, at some point. Now, I did see, I don't know if you've seen that video of the device that deploys from the front of the vehicle that, like, essentially creates, like, an airbag net hybrid to sort of catch pedestrians in, like, a little nest in front of the car.
Those are awesome, you know? Yeah, there's been a lot of varieties on that theme. There's definitely some unfolding baskets and these sorts of things that were developed, I think, in the 20s. Yeah. And then when you and I were at Gaydon, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a safety car research vehicle there that I think maybe British Leyland worked on some safety features with. And it had kind of what appeared to be a tubular roll cage to protect the engine, but really would like flip out and catch a pedestrian. And if I'm not mistaken, I feel like it also like kind of threw them back over the roof of the car.
Yes.
To prevent them from getting injured. So
from
it's
getting
like
injured,
a,
yes.
It's like a pedestrian trebuchet kind of thing. It was
kind of thing. Yeah. It was, I don't know how. Yeah. Yeah. Some interesting, you know, some things were explored, you know, at the time, you know, I guess you learn by trying. So
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I love it too. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
No, I think anytime you. Wait.
Oh,
don't move on yet.
Oh, I'm okay.
Don't move on yet. I mean, there's a lot of interesting safety features that are coming out from like inflatable collars that you see. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Like in Scandinavia, you know, this is like kind of blows up and protects your head for cyclists. Maybe
that's true. Yeah,
maybe pedestrians should be having safety gear of their own.
It's not a bad idea. Like a snowsuit that just blows up like a balloon.
Why not?
Not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
Or if you're gonna walk to work, you have to get in one of those like Zorbs.
Zorb to work.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. Although you hit somebody in a Zorb, and they could be 9 miles from where they need to go.
Not if they're in their own Zorb.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at like
if you have to have mandatory safety equipment on vehicles,
right.
Why not have mandatory safety equipment on pedestrians?
That may solve the problem. You're right. That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, we're all about safety. We want to prevent injuries.
That's a good point.
Zorb to work. They could have Zorb paths, you know. You just
forget about bike paths. I think you just Zorb to work. It's not a bad idea, actually. Yeah, right? Good exercise, you know. Yeah, I'll tell you. The rubber patch business would go through the roof. You know, like
this is not the first incident with somebody getting their mail and being injured by an SUV. That's how we lost the Star Trek franchise.
Is that true?
I think it is. Isn't the gentleman that played Chekhov, didn't he meet his untimely demise through a mail getting SUV wrecking sort of accident? I think
he did. Oh, I didn't know that. Is that true from the new Chekhov, the young gentleman? Really?
I believe so.
It's very sad. That's very sad.
Being a Star Trek fan, I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Well, yeah,
Weren't you asking, where's the latest installment of my favorite franchise?
There's so many TV shows and things now. Yeah, I didn't. I know he had passed, but I didn't know it was in a mail-related accident. Yeah.
I believe he was getting his mail and his SUV was not in park or...
Oh, that's right. Yes, it wasn't in park and it ran over him. That's correct. That is what happened. You're right.
Stone mailbox and the...
That's right. That's what happened. You're absolutely right. I remember that now.
If he was in his orb, it wouldn't have happened.
If he was in his orb, it wouldn't have happened. That's exactly right. That's a charity that needs to be launched, a nonprofit to encourage Zorb use in...
The Zorb lobby. They're dropping the ball by not
Zorb lobby. You got to get the Zorb lobby on this. That's a good point. Well, speaking of the Zorb lobby, there is a particularly attractive Camel Trophy truck that has, well, by now will have sold or not. I don't know if it will have met its reserve, but it is noteworthy, not necessarily because it's a Camel Trophy truck, although that is certainly one of the reasons. Very early car from the 1983 event, and it's not a Defender. It's actually a Land Rover 110. It's a pre-Defender vehicle, so it's before the
Discovery
existed.
Two
and a quarter diesel. Yeah, it's an oldie but a goodie. They're neat cars.
60 horsepower in a 5,000-pound vehicle.
5,000-pound vehicle, yeah. They are Cell Giant Ass Salisbury Axle. I mean, they are the slowest, clunkiest of the Land Rovers, but they're neat. They're a really cool car, and it was before they did, you know, full roll cages and all of this sort of stuff on the Camel Trophy cars. These things really were very stock. The later Camel Trophy cars are stock, certainly from, you know, a certain perspective, but these cars were very, very stock. They were really just painted yellow and had a roof rack and stuff on them, and that was really it. They didn't modify them extraordinarily heavily. They were really a pretty stock vehicle, but this one is noteworthy because this one was the car that was driven by our good friend Andreas Bender, who is the founder of the progenitor. Camel Trophy. The progenitor, if you will. The gentleman who came up with the crazy idea of Camel Trophy and ran the event for a number of years was the person who went out and found the Camel cigarettes and got the sponsorship and did the first year in Jeeps and all that sort of business.
He's an important character, maybe the most important character in Camel Trophy lore. I'm told, I just read through the fine print on this auction, if you win this vehicle, you will get a personal tour of Andreas's facility featuring 200 acres of erotic art. This is a true story if you win the vehicle. The prize may or may not be true, but he does in fact have 200 acres of erotic art.
Of erotic art. Ike and I have had the pleasure of getting to know him quite well. And
Phrasing.
Yeah. He has invited us to one of his many. I mean, he is sort of a citizen of the world in the truest sense of the word. He doesn't really live anywhere. He sort of lives everywhere. One of his many places where he will stay for a time, I guess the gentleman that is the owner, the caretaker, whatever, of that facility, I believe it's somewhere in South America.
Trinidad, Caribbean.
The Caribbean. Okay. Andreas described it as he owns a collection of erotic art, and he described it not by number of pieces, but in acres.
True.
Yeah.
True. That's so, an actual conversation.
Still in my head. I just imagine
the father of the camel trophy.
Yes, the father of the camel trophy. We are going to take him up on that one day because I simply have to see that with my own eyes. I do. So yeah, hopefully if this thing does make it to its reserve, I'm interested to see. I don't think it will. I'm very familiar with this car and I know what the reserve, I can imagine what the reserve is. I don't know what it is, but I know what they want to sell it for. And I imagine that's what the reserve is. And I'll be interested to see if it makes it there. I hope it does for their sake. That would be great.
It'd
be great to see.
Do you think all of the art is just different renderings of Andreas?
Of Andreas. Oh, it's all him. Oh, in different erotic positions. Maybe. I'd still want to see it. I still want to see it. He's a good looking man. You know, he's a good looking man. I mean, he's in his 70s probably, yeah? And he's a good looking guy. He takes care of himself. I'll tell you that much. I believe in my heart of hearts that he is the person that the most interesting man in the world is based on. Like, I really do. I feel like the Dos Equis people at some point met Andreas and they're like, this is an ad campaign right here. This gentleman.
This is the guy.
This gentleman here.
This is the guy.
We're gonna design a person around him.
Yeah, when you share a taxi cab ride with Andreas, you know, it's just
incredible. We give him a ride back to the hotel, and he regaled us with tales of adventure and spoils of all kinds of different things.
A lot of people think that the Camel Trophy experience is, you know, wading through Amazonian rivers in, you know, a diesel Defender. No. The real Camel Trophy experience is sharing a cab with Andreas.
That's exactly right.
That is exactly rural England.
In rural England, yes, on the way back from Bob Ives' house. That's really where you truly experience the spirit of Camel Trophy. That's it. Well, hopefully that auction goes well, and good luck to the folks selling that car. It is super neat. Really interesting piece of Camel Trophy history. It's been repainted, and the roof rack's been painted black and something. So, you know, it's not a super time capsule-y one, but it's in good shape and
still exists.
It's a piece of history for sure.
Yeah.
And a neat car for those folks who are interested in Camel Trophy. A really neat piece of history. The early ones are hard to find, man. They did not survive that well. The early 80s cars got destroyed and got left in those countries and got turned into mule carts and everything else. And so to find an early 80s camel truck is 2.5 liters, really rare. So that's neat. Super cool to have. Find that Bender camel and find that auction. Well, by now it has passed. So hopefully you guys got it. And congratulations to the person that has. Speaking of things that have passed, by now you have your Rovers magazine. Hopefully you've had time to check out our article on the Rover Rendezvous from this past year. Our good friend Jeff Aronson was nice enough to feature Abigail's photos of this year's event, the 75th anniversary of Land Rover, celebrated by the Southern California Land Rover Club here in the Los Angeles area, with our friends from San Diego and from the greater Los Angeles area all get together in Big Bear every year to celebrate Land Rovering. And this year, also the 75th anniversary of Her Majesty's Land Rover. And yeah, we had a great time. Abigail took some amazing pictures, and Jeff was nice enough to give us the real spread there. We had, I think, like 6 or 7 pages there. It's really some beautiful photos. It was a great time. We had a good, really good turnout, and it's always a good time. Always a good time. I encourage anyone who's never been out here to Southern California to join us. It usually happens in September. We'd love to have you, and come on out and check out the deserty, jungly, sometimes foresty. It all depends. California has a pretty diverse climate and pretty diverse set of terrain down here. So check out that Rovers magazine. Always great stuff. There's some stuff about the Trek in there this month. There's some, you know, great stuff about a guy converting a forward control ambulance into an overland camper or some other good stuff like that. So Jeff Aronson always does an incredible job. The old Rovers magazine.
He does an incredible job.
An incredible job. Incredible job at the Rovers magazine. Love that guy. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And if you would like to see Jeff Aronson in person, head on up to the Anarc Oregon West Coast event coming up real soon here at the end of May. And you could actually be in the presence of the one and only Jeff Aronson. There will be an RTV event that Jeff will be a part of. He will be mingling along with all of your favorite Anarc and Land Rover celebrities. John Kosich will be there from the Center Steer podcast. He and I are cooking up all kinds of shenanigans. Of course, Bob Steele will be there. Mr. Brownwater himself. Ike and I will be there. Jenna and Liza will be there. Abigail's going to be there. We're going to have the whole team. Linus is going to be there. You can see the overalls in person. He may already be there. He's been there for a week already. You know, he has to dig up the mud hut that he's constructing out in the field. So
yeah, get your special edition Linus overalls at the Anarc event.
That's right. Pre-worn Linus overalls. Speaking
Linus
of,
will be there signing posters
and overalls, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And underalls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And betweens, whatever you need. Betweensies.
Whatever you need.
Yeah. Those Mormon full body underwear. Whatever you got, he'll sign it. He doesn't care. He's into it, you know? Speaking of celebrity garments, we here down on the southern side of the old Underpowered Hour have been working with an incredible little Los Angeles clothing brand called Cherry. They are developing a spring collection all around the adventurous life of Camel Trophy. Speaking of Camel Trophy, they have an all new adventure brand that they have, again, sort of inspired by Camel Trophy, and we've worked with them, and they have the Camel Trophy Discovery in their store for the next couple of months. So if you're here in Los Angeles and you'd like to stop by the Cherry clothing store in Hollywood, you can check out the Camel Trophy truck and you can check out all of the clothing that they have designed around the idea of off-road adventure rally and off-road driving sport and stuff. So a lot of iconography that is sort of inspired by races like the Camel Trophy and the 90s adventure racing culture and off-road culture. Really cool stuff. Very contemporary clothing. So it's not, you know, khaki button-up shirts and that sort of stuff. It's much more contemporary than that. We're going to have the Cherry guys on podcast at some point in the future to talk about that. Yeah, they've used the Camel Trophy truck in all of their new spring collection advertising. Abigail was down there all day yesterday doing the photo shoot with them. Actually had to drive the Camel Trophy truck through a window to get it into the store. So I was told the glass got taken out of the window first, but
oh, that's
maybe not. I don't know. That's a shame. That's a shame. So, but yeah, but look forward to that. We're going to try to do some collaboration with those folks. Yeah, maybe get some Underpowered Hour stuff done with the Cherry guys. So they're very cool. Manufacture everything here in Los Angeles. They're a local brand, made in America, made in Los Angeles, local, and very cool stuff. Very hip. Far too hip for me. I am not that fashion forward. I'm just much too schluppy to wear that kind of super fashiony stuff there. But it's, you know, it's t-shirts, jeans, contemporary, modern American kind of Americana stuff. But
say contemporary one more time.
Contemporary. But Ike and Linus can pull it off because they're very like, you know, rugged chic. But I can't. I'm just, you know, just too awkward. So check out the Cherry website. You can see all of the Camel Trophy inspired things. And thanks to our good friend Nick Dimbleby for making that connection. And yeah, we had a lot of fun working with them on that and coming up with ideas for stuff to inspire that collection. And they've been a lot of fun to work with. They've come and hung out here a couple times and driven old Land Rovers around and been a lot of fun. So they're very, very fun folks over there at the old Cherry. Check out that stuff. And speaking of that stuff, to wrap up the show today, talk a little bit about coatings
what?
And uncoatings.
We're going to have to save that for
Yeah, it's a choice. Forget about coatings and uncoatings. We're going to do that in another show.
We have been doing a tremendous amount of coatings on various things, fasteners, chassis, all kinds of stuff, and how to prep for that. So in a future upcoming wonderful episode, we'll do a breakdown on that stuff.
It's getting harder and harder to do. You know, galvanizing is one of those things that for the environment, it is, you know, it's a little hard to deal with all the restrictions that go around it now. So the number of galvanizers is becoming fewer and fewer.
If you want to learn about galvanizing, if you want to learn more about Sheridizing, which we've talked a little bit about on the show before, if you want to learn about Walterizing.
Ooh, Walterizing.
Walterizing. You know, we'll talk about that. Platings of various kinds.
Walter Matthauizing.
Yeah. Yeah. We've also got a bronze casting project coming up. Ooh, so that'll be a little segment on casting would be pretty fun too.
There is a process of 3D printing for investment casting where you can 3D print the investment and then have it, you know, poured of bronze. And I've always wanted to do that, but I've never had a reason to, never had anything I needed out of bronze. So one of these days I want to do that, or brass, or
yeah,
any of those horrible metals. So
yeah, I think that'd be fun to do a little underpowered hour bronze casting project. You've got the 3D printer, which we need to do a Land Rover project anyway.
We got to do some stuff with it. That's true.
And there's a local bronze casting studio, and the owner just happens to have a Series 388.
Whoa.
True story.
You know what it sounds like? You know, as we all know well, the Rolls-Royce has a hood ornament called the Spirit of Ecstasy. Feels like the Freelander needs a tiny Ike of satisfaction, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
Something like that, maybe. We'll see. All right. Well, with that, it's been a slice. We'll talk to you next week. And until then, I guess keep it between the ditches. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, Steven.
The Underpowered Hour is produced by Liza Barris, Ike Goss, and me, Steve Barris. Pavel Svardov composed and performed our theme music. Consider supporting the show on Patreon, and if you already do, thank you. Your support makes the show possible. For even more, check out our Instagram or Facebook.